I will make them wrong, and I'll die in their
sin. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Saturday night broadcast from the Defender 7 with your hosts, Colonel Kimberly Purvis, Lieutenant General Christopher Weathers, and myself as a co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Welcome. Before we get on with the show, I have to read our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Now, with that out of the way, for all you new people that are just tuning in or just come across us, we do have a website. If you'll type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders.com. On our website, you'll see that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need or any shit hits the fan situation. So please, by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. That's the only way that we're able to fund anything that happens throughout all 50 states. We're not like the other groups where they keep 90% and only give 10%. All 100% goes back to our communities. So please help us help you and your community in the time of need. Now, we can also be reached on our national Facebook page by typing in all capital letters in the search box, Defenders 7. That's Defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two large I's. Before you hit that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do in the Defender 7. If you feel you can't participate or it's not a group for you, you can always leave. No hard feelings. We're also on MeWe. If you click on organizations and scroll down to Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. And thanks to our national medical officer and your host tonight, Kimberly Purvis, we also have a YouTube channel. So please go over there and check that out for us and click that subscribe button. And anytime you see our blog talk shows coming up, we'd really greatly appreciate it if you would share it on all social media platforms. It helps us. Now, for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk, we enjoy it when you call in with your own opinions and your thoughts. Call you out on it, because that's just what it is, your opinion. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate or just to say hello, area code 914-205-5773. Phone lines are open, folks. And let me welcome our Lieutenant General, and we have our Colonel Kimberly Purvis, and our Captain from Wisconsin, Miss Lorna Munson, a.k.a. Slacker.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, I wish I was slacking today.
Well, I didn't see you mowing no grass, so no pictures, no proof.
Oh.
So it didn't happen.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
If it wasn't documented, it didn't happen.
Okay.
And good afternoon or good evening, everyone.
That's good about it.
Before
I get started, does anybody know of power outages in their area?
No.
Let's go.
No.
Tennessee, all over Tennessee, they've had power outages 5 times in the last 2 weeks. Hours at a time.
And I'm telling you, Kim, what I said the other night about that. They're doing it state by state.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the other thing. Next week, I'm not sure what date is, they're changing over the internet, the type of internet that we have. They're changing it. So we're going to lose the internet next week.
Cool.
Don't know how long.
We go back
but,
to the days when we grew up.
Oh, I know.
Right here.
But, yeah, that's the word. Some people are saying that's because of the G7 summit, and they believe that the Great Reset's about to happen because you can't do it in every single country simultaneously. You got to do it starting over, and I think we're last, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. So, but that's what they say.
Well, I hope everybody's prepared for the fight.
I know.
There's going to be a lot of bloodshed, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, and especially if certain things go down, my suggestion is if you don't have to go anywhere, don't go anywhere. If you see something happening, leave. Just go home. Mind your business. Mind your matter. And go home. Especially if there's something big going on. You don't want to be caught in, so. But,
yeah, that's for anybody that isn't prepared.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to go to work, of course, go to work. But if you see something massive happening, as long as law enforcement's there and or whoever, that's fine. Please go. Bye. You know, but because I don't really want to say my opinion too much on like what I can think might be happening. No, I'm just going to leave it as it is. But. Like any riot, if you see riots going on or anything like that, go home. There's no need you getting caught out in it and getting hurt, especially if you can't defend yourself. Too bad, like, every state was it Oklahoma? Then it told people if you're on the highway or on the road and there's rioters in the road, that you are not going to be charged with homicide if you hit them with your car?
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't
be in
the road.
I do want to bring one thing up, though.
Sure.
I do want to say one thing. As of today, there has been 4 confirmed attempted hijackings in planes.
Oh, shit.
So just wanted to let everybody know. And it has been confirmed. One was in Florida.
Okay.
One was in Georgia. I forget where the other two were, but the patrons, the people on the plane, subdued the guys and kept them from getting into the cockpit. So,
well, that's not bad.
My hat's off to all the civilians that took part in it. So,
oh yeah.
As we have always said on every radio show on Blog Talk Radio, as we said in our Facebook and Messenger chat rooms, you better keep your head on a swivel at all times, because it is going to get even worse.
Yep.
Yep.
So if you're not prepared by now, you better run and get prepared real fast.
Yeah.
So I just asked my brother about the power outages in Tennessee, and his answer was they're always having power outages down there.
When I lived there, we didn't have power outages unless there was a storm or some jackass hit a light bulb. But in Harriman,
my brother was on stick.
Okay. No, she lives in Harriman. And she says it's the 5th time in 3 weeks that she's lost, that the whole city's lost power in Harriman. That's not normal. That's not normal at all. You'll get brownouts. You'll get, like I said, you'll get the occasional power go out. The wind can blow a transformer. If it's too hot, people are using too much power, yeah, that'll blow a transformer. But not whole cities. You know.
Oh,
there's about.
I forgot to mention the airlines where the attempted hijackings happened is all of them on Delta Airlines.
Yeah, we'll figure.
Just to let y'all know, FYI, bitches.
Hold on a second. Ow, my knees. Yeah, so LAX was one of them.
Yes. I know there's been several throughout the country, so I didn't know exactly the cities. I know one was in Florida, and I think Atlanta, Georgia was another. I don't know where the other two went.
Yeah, they only have LAX on here. Of course, there's more on there, but whatever.
Well, there is more, so.
No, I know, but I just put hijackings today and whatever. So we've started going back onto our all the wars the U.S. has been in, and we finally made it to Vietnam, finally. I did not know the Vietnam War started as early as it did.
Yeah, the Vietnam War. When was that?
In the 50s. It started in the 50s.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, according to most historians, though the conflict in Southeast Asia had its roots in the French colonial period of the 1800s. So the United States, France, China, and the Soviet Union, Cambodia, Laos, and other countries would over time become involved in the lengthy war, which finally ended in 1975 when North and South Vietnam were reunited as one country. So this is the timeline. And by the way, I'm on the on history.com. I just typed up Vietnam War, boom. We're on the History Channel. So in 1887, France imposes a colonial system over Vietnam, calling it French Indochina. And the system includes Tonkin, Annam, Cochin, China, and Cambodia. And then Laos was added in 1893. In 1923-1925, Vietnamese nationalist Ho Chi Minh is trained in the Soviet Union as an agent of the Communist International. February of 1930, Ho Chi Minh found the Indochinese Communist Party at a meeting in Hong Kong. In 1940, Nazi Germany takes control of France. In September 1940, Japanese troops invade French Indochina and occupy Vietnam with little French resistance. In May of 1941, Ho Chi Minh and communist colleagues established the League for the Independence of Vietnam, known as the Viet Minh. The movement aims to resist French and Japanese occupation of Vietnam. So March 1945, Japanese troops occupying Indochina carry out a coup against French authorities and announce an end to the colonial era, declaring Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia independent. And defeated by the Allies in World War II, leaving a power vacuum in Indochina, France begins to reassert its authority over Vietnam. In September of 1945, Ho Chi Minh declares an independent North Vietnam and models his declaration on the American Declaration of Independence of 1776 in an unsuccessful effort to win the support of the United States. In July of 1946, Ho Chi Minh rejects a French proposal granting Vietnam limited self-government, and the Viet Minh begins a guerrilla war against the French. In March of 1947, in an address to Congress, President Harry Truman states that the foreign policy of the United States is to assist any country whose stability is threatened by communism. The policy becomes known as the Truman Doctrine. In June of 1949, the French install former Emperor Bao Dai as head of state in Vietnam. In August of 1949, the Soviet Union explodes its first atom bomb in a remote area of Kazakhstan, marking a tense turning point in the Cold War with the United States. In October of 1949, following a civil war, Chinese Communist leader Mao Zedong declares the creation of the People's Republic of China. Do they reuse names, too? And for stuff like that, like back in the day, Russia would reuse family names if they didn't like the person, you know, when they get married. They don't like the name, so they change it. Because Mao Zedong, this is from 1949, but I know that dude can't still be alive. Unless they, you know what I'm saying, like an emperor. You guys know?
Well, I know in Norway they used to change their name, like my dad's name is Lauren, and his offspring's name, last name would be Lauren's son. Yeah, add the son onto the end of the name of the males. I don't believe they do it anymore. I think my grandpa was probably the last one, last generation that did it.
Because I know if you look at it like in the UK, they'll change names of everybody. Like King James was not King James before he became King James. And they just, I mean, I've noticed that in my ancestry, a lot of names were changed. Not just the spelling. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, completely just change it. Like the Pope. Was it Pope Francis? You know what I'm saying? How they change all the Pope's names. They have to pick a biblical name like that. But anyway, January of 1950, the People's Republic of China and the Soviet Union formally recognized the Communist Democratic Republic of Vietnam, and both began to supply economic aid and military aid to communist resistance fighters within the country. February of 1950, assisted by the Soviet Union and the newly communist China, the Viet Minh stepped up their offensive against French outposts in Vietnam. In June of 1950, the United States, identifying the Viet Minh as a communist threat, steps up military assistance to France for their operations against the Viet Minh. And from March to May of 1954, French troops are humiliated and defeated by Viet Minh forces at Diem Diem Phu. The defeat solidifies the end of French rule in Indochina. In 1954, in a speech, Dwight D. Eisenhower says the fall of the French Indochina to communists could create a domino. This so-called domino theory guides U.S. thinking on Vietnam for the next decade. The Geneva Accords. In July of 1954, the Geneva Accords established South Vietnam with the 17th parallel as a dividing line. The agreement also stipulates that elections are to be held within 2 years to unify Vietnam under a single democratic government. These elections never happened. In 1955, Catholic nationalist Ngo Dinh Diem emerges as the leader of South Vietnam with U.S. backing, while Ho Chi Minh leads the communist state to the north. In May of 1959, North Vietnam forces begin to build a supply route through Laos and Cambodia to South Vietnam in an effort to support guerrilla attacks against what becomes known as the Ho Chi Minh Trail and is greatly expanded and enhanced during the Vietnam War. In July of 1959, the first U.S. soldiers are killed in South Vietnam when guerrillas raid their living quarters near Saigon. September of 1960, Ho Chi Minh, facing failing health, is replaced by Lê Duẩn as head of North Vietnam's ruling Communist Party. In December of 1960, National Liberation Front is formed with North Vietnamese backing as the political wing of the anti-government insurgency in South Vietnam. The United States views the NLF as an arm of North Vietnam and starts calling the military wing of the NLF the Viet Cong, short for Vietnam Cong San, or Vietnamese Communists. In May of 1961, President JFK sends helicopters and 400 Green Berets to South Vietnam and authorizes secret operations against the VC. In January of 1962, in Operation Ranch Hand, U.S. aircraft start spraying Agent Orange and other herbicides over rural areas of South Vietnam to kill vegetation that would offer cover and food for guerrilla forces. You see, and the thing about Agent Orange, which is a big debate with a lot of people, our government used it against the Vietnamese and our own guys, knowing that they were over there. And to this day, a lot of Vietnam veterans suffer from different different illnesses because of Agent Orange. And sometimes it's passed down through the children, you know, from the father or mother, whatever, to down generations.
I had a very good friend of mine that died of cancer from Agent Orange.
My dad did. And it took him...
Yep.
He got home, 70, he got home, 71, 81, 91, two, took him 30 years before, because his started with heart problems, then lung problems. Come to find out, he got diagnosed with MS in his 50s, and he died at 59, and in his 50s, he got diagnosed with MS, which has been found to be caused by Agent Orange. So a lot of these guys, and they just want to brush it under the rug, you know. And some of the soldiers, the veterans from Vietnam, they barely got compensated for it. Some only got a couple hundred dollars. Ooh.
Well,
be still my heart.
I'll say this much: Vietnam veterans, they deserve a hell of a lot more than what they got.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know that's for sure. I mean, and it's still happening. Not just Vietnam veterans. Well, besides them, now it's all of the veterans now.
Well, I know that.
You know,
I mean, hell, I'm a Desert Shield and Storm veteran, so I definitely know.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is so much crap that we get exposed to. That's not even it's ridiculous. So, in February of 1962, No Dinh Diem survived the bombing of the presidential palace in South Vietnam as Diem's extreme favoritism towards South Vietnam, a Catholic minority, alienates him from most of the South Vietnamese population, including Vietnamese Buddhists. In January of 1963, at A.P. Bac, a village in the Mekong Delta, southwest of Saigon, South Vietnamese troops are defeated by a much smaller unit of Viet Cong fighters. The South Vietnamese are overcome despite their 4-1 advantage and technical and planning assistance of the U.S. advisors. And, you know, another thing about Vietnam, our guys got screwed because they would not send them all available technology that we had available.
Yeah, I know.
And help that was needed. See, I don't know. I just think it was just, yes, a war does, it stimulates the economy to a certain extent. Somebody has to make the uniforms. Somebody has to make the ammo, the weapons. You know what I'm saying? Somebody has to make all of that. But when you get to a certain point, like the Middle East, it's just been going on for, what, 20 years?
And Bobby can contest to this, too, I know. It was no different from Vietnam in that spectrum than it was Operation Desert Shield and Storm, Somalia, Kuwait, Afghanistan, same shit. They were not giving us all the shit that we needed.
Oh, no.
Am I right, Bobby? Or is he asleep?
Exactly.
I mean,
oh, it takes him a while to answer.
Well, if you look at all the roadside bombs that we had to deal with, and our Humvees were not protected. Bulletproof glass, bulletproof doors. We were getting shot to shit.
The MRAP. When I was in, when they first came out with the MRAP, when I was in, bars, so you could put your feet up on the bar and not on the bottom of the, you know, the floor because of the IEDs. And that's why so many soldiers are losing their legs and their feet. So
I know.
The concussion from it going up, that's why they put that bar there. But those MRAPs, man, them bitches can roll. And they had to make them better because so many of the vehicles were rolling and killing the soldiers from simple, stupid shit. But Yeah, they're coming out with a lot better stuff than what they used to have. But if you're going to go to a war, you need to give the guys everything you have. You know,
not with
don't,
the presidents that we had.
Nope.
Shit. I was fortunate. I got out when Obama's first term. I was half and half. So, I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm not going to stay. I wouldn't stay in knowing Obama was the whatever racist piece of beer, whatever. So, anywho, the mayor of 1963, in a major incident of what becomes known as the Buddhist crisis, the government of No Dinh Diem opens fire on a crowd of Buddhist protesters in central Vietnam in the city of Hue. 8 people, including children, are killed. In 1963, a 73-year-old monk immolates himself while sitting in a major city intersection in protest, leading other Buddhists to follow suit in the coming weeks. The United States is already declining confidence in Diem's leadership as it continues to slide. I can guarantee you, I don't even know when this heifer decided to do her stupid shit. One person, her reputation's forever ruined because of what she did in Vietnam.
Jane
and I
fucked
can guarantee
up Fonda.
Hanoi Jane. Yep. After what she did in Vietnam, oh, my God. Her reputation's forever ruined. She'll never be able to get out of that, ever. And I refuse to watch anything that has anything to do with Jane Fonda or that she's in it. Now, if you want to have a documentary of a screw-up she is, well, yeah, I'll watch it as long as she's not in it. In November of 1963, the United States backed the South Vietnam military coup against the unpopular Diem, which ends in the brutal killing of Diem and his brother, No Dinh Nguyen. I like these names. They're kind of cool. Between 1963 and 65, 12 different governments take the lead in South Vietnam as military coups replace the government, one after another. So they had no government in those couple years. And that's pretty sad. Kind of like America right now. We don't have a government. In 1963, JFK was assassinated in Dallas, and LBJ becomes president, and bam, that's when America gets involved with the war. Kennedy did not want to get involved with the Vietnam War. He wanted to stop it, but he was outnumbered, and they killed him. In 1964, the USS Maddox is allegedly attacked by North Vietnamese patrol torpedo boats in the Gulf of Tonkin. Then they disputed the attack later on, leading LBJ to call for airstrikes on North Vietnamese patrol boat bases. 2 U.S. aircraft are shot down, and 1 U.S. pilot, Everett Alvarez Jr., becomes the first U.S. airman to be taken prisoner by North Vietnam. In 1964, the attacks in the Gulf of Tonkin spur Congress to pass the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which authorizes the president to take all necessary measures, including the use of armed force, against any aggressor in the conflict. In November of 1964, the Soviet Politburo increases its support to North Vietnam, sending aircraft, artillery, ammunition, small arms, radar, air defense system, food, and medical supplies. So meanwhile, China sends several engineering troops to North Vietnam to assist in building critical defense infrastructure. A lot of your combat engineers, that's what my dad was. He would go ahead of everybody else. Did the Cav Scouts go out there and do it too? Was it just the combat engineers?
I think it was the Cal Scouts.
They did go out too?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because I know my dad would tell me they had to blow up, they had to make, like, just blow up the tree line, and then we make bridges if they needed it, and they erect buildings for troops and this, that, and the other. And then after they were done in that area, they would blow it up. He said
right.
That was the most exciting part of his job, going in first. And that changed a lot of your combat engineers. A lot of them, and that MACAV scout, that affected them a lot. But yeah, my dad was if they had the E4 Mafia back in Vietnam, he would have been in the E4 Mafia. And if anyone knows what the E4 Mafia is, they don't do shit. They're E4s, and they don't do shit. They call it a sham shield. My dad thought he was really swift, and he would have cigarettes, beer, and all that shit sent from home and get caught with it, and then he got demoted. And then he get promoted and then demoted, I think like 3 or 4 times. I used to joke with him. I said, Dad, the whole point of rank is to go up, not down. So, yeah. Yeah, I think Vietnam probably started the whole fact of Article 15. I swear to God, he never talked about it, but that's all he would talk about was stupid shit like that. He would tell us about the buildings, and they're all metal. And with the windows, if your bed was by the window, you'd freeze. And so they would have like the 50-gallon drums, the metal ones, and they build fires in them. That's how they heated where they slept back then. And that's all he would talk about. Nothing else. So I know he got mentally messed up back then. But in February 1960, President Johnson orders the bombing of targets in North Vietnam in Operation Flaming Dart in retaliation for a VC raid at a U.S. base in the city of Pleiku at a nearby helicopter base at Camp Holloway. In March of 1965, Johnson launches a 3-year campaign of sustained bombing targets in North Vietnam and the Ho Chi Minh Trail and Operation Rolling Thunder. And the same month, U.S. Marines land on beaches near Da Nang, South Vietnam, as the first American combat troops to enter Vietnam. In June of 1965, he's got that funky first name, N-G-U-E-N, of the Army of the Republic of Vietnam governmental military becomes president of South Vietnam. More troops, more deaths, more protests. In July of 1965, Johnson calls for 50,000 more ground troops to be sent to Vietnam, increasing the draft to 35,000 each month. Dear God. No wonder people were leaving left and right. In 1965, in Operation Starlight, some 5,500 U.S. Marines strike against the 1st VC Regiment and the first major ground offensive by U.S. forces in Vietnam. A 6-day operation defuses the VC Regiment, although it would quickly rebuild. They're like mice over there and rabbits. Plenty of guys. In November 1965, Norman Morrison, a 31-year-old pacifist Quaker from Baltimore, sets himself on fire in front of the Pentagon to protest the Vietnam War. Onlookers encourage him to release his 11-month-old baby daughter, whom he is holding, before he is engulfed in flames. In November of 1965, nearly 300 Americans are killed and hundreds more injured in the first large-scale battle of the war, the Battle of La Drang Valley. At the battle in South Vietnam's Central Highlands, U.S. ground troops are dropped onto and withdrawn from the battlefield by helicopter in what will become a common strategy, both sides declare victory. Is that this one particular battle right here, is that the one that We Were Soldiers was made after?
I don't remember offhand, but I'm thinking it is.
because the Battle of Lazaring Valley and the helicopters, that's the only thing it sounds. Let me look it up because that's pretty. Yeah, and if you want to, some good. I mean, there are so many Vietnam War movies out there. Like We Were Soldiers. It's pretty accurate. A lot of the soldiers who were there at the DM, what's it called, landing zone, X-ray, whatever it was called. There's a few Hollywood scenes in it. Like it's towards the end. You know the scene where the guy puts his hand up for someone to find him? They said that never happened. So yeah,
right.
The guy said he's like, no, that never happened. But a majority of that movie is true.
Oh yeah.
So
it was Wind Talk.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see, what battle was that? Yeah, nearly 300. Yeah, they only went in with like, what was it, 395 or 495 soldiers? Let me see. November.
Yeah, I know it wasn't a large amount of soldiers.
Yeah. Let's see, based on the book, We Were Soldiers, Lieutenant Hal Moore and Joseph Galloway, it dramatizes the Battle of Lazaring on November 14th, 1965. In 1954, a French unit of patrol, yeah, the whole movie, like this is saying, is pretty much true. So that's what it was. I believe he had, is he 395 or 490? It was less than 500 troops, what he went with.
Right.
And because they did not, and because they didn't call it a war, they called it a conflict. That's why he lost a majority of his officers and higher NCOs.
Yep.
So, except for Sergeant Major Plumlee. Dude, I would love to meet him. Because just the way, what's his name, Sam Elliott portrays him, that's got to
yes.
be the way he is.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
It, that would be so friggin' funny. So, 1966, U.S. troop numbers in Vietnam rise to 400,000. Good God. I didn't know they sent that many, not more. No, it was almost. And so June of 1966, American aircraft attacks targets in Hanoi and Haiphong in raids that are among the first such attacks on cities in North Vietnam. In 67, U.S. troop numbers went to 500,000. In February of 67, U.S. aircraft bomb Haiphong Harbor in North Vietnamese. Okay. In April of 1967, huge Vietnam War protests occur in D.C. and in New York and San Francisco. Wood figure. Nguyen Van Thieu wins the presidential election of South Vietnam under a newly enacted constitution. In 1967, the Battle of Dak Tho, U.S. and South Vietnamese forces resist an offensive by communist forces in the Central Highlands. The United States forces suffer some 1,800 casualties. In January to April of 1968, a U.S. Marine garrison at Khe Sanh in South Vietnam is bombarded with massive artillery by communist forces from the People's Army of North Vietnam. For 77 days, the Marines and South Vietnamese forces fend off the siege. In January of 1968, the Tet Offensive begins, encompassing a combined assault of Viet Minh and North Vietnamese armies. Attacks are carried out in more than 100 cities and outposts across South Vietnam, including Hue and Saigon. The U.S. embassy is invaded. The effective bloody attacks shock U.S. officials and mark a turning point in the war at the beginning of a gradual U.S. withdrawal from the rain. region. So February 11th to the 17th in 1968, this week records the highest number of U.S. soldier deaths during the war with 543 Americans. February to March of 1968, battles at Hue and Saigon end with American and ARVN victory as the VC guerrillas are cleared from the cities. In March 16th, 1968, at the U.S. massacre at My Lai, more than 500 civilians are murdered by U.S. forces. Wow. See, that's probably where they get a lot of the bad image from, you know, to murder civilians. And that's the thing, that's your one priority as a soldier. Never kill a civilian, you know, or non-combatant, actually. The massacre happens amid a campaign of U.S. search and destroy operations that are intended to find enemy territories, destroy them, and then retreat. In March of 1968, President Johnson halts bombing in Vietnam north of the 20th parallel. Facing backlash about the war, Johnson announces he will not run for re-election. Oh, too bad. In November of 1968, Richard Nixon, woo, he's a much bigger winner, wins the U.S. presidential elections on the campaign promises to restore law and order and to end the draft. I think they should bring the draft back. Not for patriots, though. I think they should draft snowflakes, liberals, and Democrats who piss and moan about the military and piss and moan about America. I think they should all be rounded up, make them sign a two-year contract. Don't send them into battle. Just ship them over somewhere overseas for a year at a time and tell them, you get to stay over here for a year and see what it's like being deployed, and then let them come back. Of course, and leave them there. I honestly do, because there's just total lack of respect for our military. And people have a lot of nerve to talk shit about something that they don't have the balls to serve. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like you can't, it's one thing if you can't serve. Some people want to serve, but they have a health issue, and they can't join, which, you know, hey, at least they tried. So I just can't stand hearing about these little wine bags who complain about the military. May of 1969 at Bia Mountain, about a mile from the border with Laos, U.S. paratroopers attacked entrenched North Vietnamese fighters in an attempt to cut off North Vietnamese infiltration from Laos. U.S. troops eventually captured the site temporarily, which would be nicknamed Hamburger Hill. Oh, that's another good movie, by the way, Hamburger Hill. It's holy shit, though. I'm trying to think of other good movies. That's not, you know, it's more, Platoon is like, for the time it came out. What's the other one? There's a bunch. Like I said, they've made so many movies about Vietnam and their music, the songs that they use. The carnage lasted, that was a 10-day battle on Hamburger Hill. In September 1969, Ho Chi Minh dies of a heart attack in Hanoi. In December of 1969, the U.S. government institutes the first draft lottery since World War II, prompting ever more young American men, later disparaged as draft dodgers, to flee to Canada. My dad wasn't drafted. He actually joined when he was in his late 20s. In 1969 to 1972, the Nixon administration gradually reduces the number of U.S. forces in South Vietnam, placing more burden on the ground forces of South Vietnam's their military. As part of a strategy known as Vietnamization, U.S. troops in Vietnam are reduced from a peak of 549,000 in 1969 to 69,000 in 1972. Damn, that's a lot. In February 1970, U.S. National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger secret peace negotiations with Hanoi Politburo, I can't pronounce that guy's name, member Luc Ducso in Paris. In March of 69 to May of 70, in a series of secret bombings known as Operation Menu, U.S. B-52 bombers target suspected communist base camps and supply zones in Cambodia. The bombings are kept under wraps by Nixon and his administration since Cambodia is officially neutral in the war, although the New York Times would reveal the operation on May 9th, 1969. Good going. See, you can't even trust the New York Times back then. April to June of 1970, U.S. and South Vietnamese forces attacked communist bases across Cambodian border in the Cambodian incursion. May 4th of 1970, in a bloody incident known as the Kent State shooting, National Guardsmen fire on anti-war demonstrators at Ohio's Kent State University, killing 4 students and wounding 9. In June of 1970, Congress repeals the Gulf of Tonkin resolution to reassert control over the president's ability to use force in the war. January to March of 1971, in Operation Lam Sung 719, ARVN troops with U.S. support invade Laos in an attempt to cut off the Ho Chi Minh Trail. They are forced to retreat and suffer heavy losses. In June of 1971, the New York Times publishes a series of articles detailing leaked Defense Department documents about the war, known as the Pentagon Papers. The report reveals the U.S. government had repeatedly and secretly increased U.S. involvement in the war. In March to October of 1972, the People's Army of Vietnam launches the large-scale three-pronged Easter offensive against the Army of the Republic of Vietnam and U.S. forces. While North Vietnam gains control of more territory in South Vietnam, the offensive isn't the decisive blow its military leaders had hoped for. December of 1972, Nixon orders the launch of the most intense air offense in the war in Operation Linebacker. The attacks concentrated between Hanoi and Haiphong, dropping roughly 20,000 tons of bombs over densely populated regions. In January 22nd of 1973, Johnson died in Texas at 64. January 27th, 1973, the Selective Service announces the end of the draft, and that's when the all-voluntary military started. I mean, you could have joined if you wanted to, but on January 27, 1973, Nixon signs the Paris Peace Accords, ending direct U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. The North Vietnamese accept a ceasefire, but as U.S. troops depart Vietnam, North Vietnamese military officials continue plotting to overtake South Vietnam. See, you can't trust these little bastards. In February to April 1973, North Vietnam returns 591 American prisoners of war, including the disgraced John McCain, of what was known as Operation Homecoming. Yeah, John McCain, you know what? He's a disgrace. I know it was pretty bad what he did or didn't do. I do believe is what they were saying. And that's why a lot of people were pissed off about it. In August of 1974, Nixon resigns in the face of likely impeachment after the Watergate scandal is revealed. Gerald Ford becomes president. In January of 75, Ford rules out any further U.S. military involvement in Vietnam. In April of 75, in the fall of Saigon, the capital of South Vietnam is seized by communist forces and the government of South Vietnam surrenders. U.S. Marine Air Force helicopters transport more than 1,000 American civilians and nearly 7,000 South Vietnamese refugees out of Saigon in an 18-hour mass evacuation effort. July of 1975, North and South Vietnam are formally unified as the Socialist Republic of Vietnam under the hardline communist rule. The war did. By the end of the war, more than 58,000 Americans lose their lives. Vietnam would later release an estimate of 1.1 million Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, and VC fighters were killed. Up to 250,000 South Vietnamese soldiers died, and more than 2 million civilians were killed on both sides. See, that's the downside of having a war in your backyard. A lot of civilians will die. So let me go back. Any questions or anything or input so far? That was the timeline.
Right.
Of the whole thing. But there's different, there's a lot of different things here. It goes more in depth for the Pentagon Papers, the Kent State shooting, Ho Chi Minh. Oh, famous American. I did not know Colin Powell, whatever the hell his name is. I didn't know he went to Vietnam. My Lai Massacre, the Tet Offensive, the War Powers Act on Coochie Tunnels. I like Coochie Tunnels, Jesus. Operation Rolling Thunder, Vietnamization. I mean, there's all of these different things. Here we go. Westmoreland. He was in that movie, was he not? Bobby. Mm-hmm.
Westmoreland?
Yeah, William Westmoreland.
Name sounds familiar. I think so.
Damn. Wow. Let me see who he who played him in that movie. I know they mentioned his name.
Where's our damn researcher at? She's sleeping again?
I don't know. Probably. Because Hal Moore.
What am I supposed to be doing?
Huh?
You said somebody was
Hold
sleeping.
On. See? Let me see who. I'm going to see who played him. Westmoreland was. Who played him? I think who played him? Well, you suck. Okay. Because that name sounds familiar. There's Hal Moore, Sergeant Major Plumley, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Sam Elliott played Plumley. Greg Kinnear played Crandall. Yeah. Hold on. I know somebody played him. But I thought it was kind of funny how it's an American movie, and they played Scottish music, and an Australian who portrayed an American, and I'm talking about the end of the movie. They have was that song a "Lay Me Down" or whatever it was. Let's see. Oh,
yeah.
Here he is. Alan Dale played Westmoreland, but I'm trying to think of who he was in the movie. Well, shit, I don't recognize him. Whatever. But anywho, he was in the movie. Come on. I hate this crap. So Johnson chose William Westmoreland as a distinguished veteran of World War II in the Korean War to command the U.S. Military Assistance Command in Vietnam. In June 1964, over the next 4 years, the general directed much of the U.S. military strategy during the Vietnam War, spearheading the buildup of American troops in the region from 16,000 to more than 500,000. His strategy of attrition aimed to inflict heavy losses on North Vietnamese and the VC forces using superior U.S. firepower, but resulted in a costly stalemate by the late 1967. The enemy's ambitious Tet Offensive in early 68 cast serious doubt on Westmoreland's claims of progress in the war effort, even as he called for some 200,000 more troops. Growing anti-war sentiment on the home front led Johnson to halt bombing attacks. So he was born in 1914 near Spartanburg, South Carolina, into a family of whose ancestors fought in the Revolutionary War and served in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. He earned an appointment to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and graduated in 1936. His fellow cadets called him Westy, a young field officer. Westmoreland met and married Catherine Van Dusen. Couple went on to have three children. That's pretty cool. But yeah, that goes on and on about Westmoreland. So, let's see. So the weapons we had. So from air power to infantry to chemicals, the weapons used in the Vietnam War were more devastating than those of any previous conflict. The United States and South Vietnamese forces relied heavily on their superior air power, including the B-52 bombers and other aircraft that dropped thousands of pounds of explosives over North Vietnam and communist targets in South Vietnam, while troops and their allies used mainly American-manufactured weapons. Communist forces used weapons manufactured in the Soviet Union and China. In addition to artillery and infantry weapons, both sides utilized a variety of tools to further their war aims, including highly toxic chemical defoliants or herbicides, and inventive booby traps, using sharpened bamboo sticks, crossbow-triggered trip wires, but that was used by the VC. Weapons of the air, the war saw the U.S. Air Force and their South Vietnamese allies fly thousands of massive low-altitude bombing missions over the North and South Vietnam, as well as over sites of suspected communist activity, neighboring Laos and Cambodia. The B-52 heavy bomber developed by Boeing in the late 40s helped the U.S. and South Vietnamese dominate the skies, along with smaller, more easily maneuverable fighter planes like the F-4 Phantom. Also widely used was the Bell UH-1 helicopter, dubbed the Huey, which could fly at low altitudes and speeds and land easily in small spaces. The U.S. forces used the Huey to transport troops, supplies, and equipment, aid ground troops, and additional firepower, and evacuated killed or wounded soldiers. Did you know the U.S. made M16 rifle was redesigned for better and wet in the wet, dirty conditions that prevailed in the ground combat during the Vietnam War, and it became the weapon most commonly associated with U.S. troop conflicts. And guess what? When I was in the Army, we used them. Same damn M16s that they used in Vietnam. I swear to God, I think we used their same old equipment, too. Like, they're, when you're in basic, you get all of your sleeping bag and all that stuff. Yeah, we were convinced we used the same shit they used in Vietnam. That's how old it was. Among the more devastating explosives used in the U.S. and South Vietnamese was napalm. And that's some cool shit. I'm sorry. I know you guys have seen it. It just made a cool fire. So it was a chemical compound developed during World War II. When mixed with gasoline and included in incendiary bombs or flamethrowers, napalm could be propelled at greater distances than gasoline and release large amounts of carbon monoxide when it exploded, poisoning the air and causing even greater damage than traditional bombs. Though the large-scale U.S. and South Vietnamese aerial bombardment efforts damaged or destroyed much of the land and population of Vietnam, they proved less destructive to the enemy than expected, as the North VC, I mean the North Vietnamese and VC troops fought an irregular style of guerrilla warfare that proved much more resilient than we had expected. The M48 tank with mounted machine guns could travel up to 30 miles an hour and was used to provide support for the U.S. and South Vietnamese troops. Due to Vietnam's soggy jungle terrain, tanks were not used extensively in combat during the war. Armored personnel carriers such as the M113 transported troops and performed reconnaissance and support functions. A common artillery weapon previously used in World War II was the 105, the howitzer, which could be towed behind a truck or carried by helicopter and dropped into position. Operated by crews of 8 men each, the howitzers fired high explosive shrapnel shells or beehive cartridges. Thousands of small sharp darts at a rate of 3 to 8 rounds per minute over a range of some 12,000 yards. One of the most common infantry weapons used by the troops was the M60 machine gun, which could also be used as an artillery weapon or operated from a helicopter or tank. The gas-powered M60 could fire up to 550 bullets in quick succession at a range of almost 2,000 yards or at a short range when fired from the shoulder. One drawback of the M60 was the heavy weight of its cartridge belt, which limited the ammunition that a soldier could carry. So standard issue for entry of the infantrymen in Vietnam was the M16, a gas-operated magazine-fed rifle that could fire 5.56 ammo accurately over several hundred yards at 700 to 900 rounds a minute on its pew-pew-pew setting. when you're on basic, you get pew. That's it. You don't get anything else. To be used as a semi-automatic, its ammunition came in the magazines at 20 to 30 rounds, making it relatively easy to reload. And the life, for an infantryman is, I believe, I don't know if it's still 11 seconds, but it was back then. 11 seconds. That's how long your lifespan was if you did not fire. So some of the weapons used by the North Vietnamese, most of the weapons, uniforms, and equipment used by them were manufactured by the Soviet Union and China, and they had the shoulder-fired SA-7 Grail missile, which many of the anti-craft weapons extensively used against American aircraft. On the ground, the DP-762 light machine gun, and that's equivalent to the M60, was based on a Soviet design and manufactured in both Soviet Union and China. The simple but deadly accurate AK-47, they call it the peasant's rifle. It's shorter and heavier than the M16. M16 weighs approximately a little over seven pounds, depending on how full your magazine is. With a lower rate of fire, up to about 600 rounds a minute. So other weapons that were used, hand grenades such as the Mark II, which could be thrown or propelled using rifle-mounted launchers. Mines were used to guard the perimeter. U.S. Air Force planes sprayed more than 19 million gallons of herbicide over 4.5 million acres of land in Vietnam from 61 to 72. As part of Operation Ranch Hand, a large-scale defoliation program aimed at eliminating forest cover for the North Vietnamese and the VC. Also, it killed their crops. And they also used Agent Orange, which was later revealed to cause serious health issues, including tumors, birth defects, rashes, psychological symptoms, and cancer among returning U.S. servicemen and their families. Some of the other things they used was Bouncing Betty. and they stopped using Bouncing Betty's because they said they were inhumane. But the last time I checked, war is not humane. I'm sorry, but that's just, you know. Did you guys want to cover? You-hoo.
That's up to you.
I pretty much covered. I mean, we all know about the protests. Actually, you guys are going to have to, like, speak for a few minutes. I have to go to the bathroom. And I can't bring my laptop with me. Too bad. I'm not bringing my laptop in the bathroom. I will mute myself, but I can't hold it anymore. Like I drink coffee, and it's going through me. That's all. Where's it at? So feel free, talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah,
I brought you guys
there,
into the bathroom with me.
Are you awake there, Lorna?
Wisconsin. I think she's asleep. Wasn't she doing something else?
She said she ate, and with all the work she did today, she's tired. She might fall asleep.
Shit. Before the show, it was like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. I'm like, crap, I set an alarm. And I'm like, man, and I started getting a really bad headache. And I decided, I'm like, I'm just going to close my eyes and go to sleep for a few minutes. And then my freaking retarded dog, not mine, Pat, barks and barks and barks. And I said, you listen here, dude. Keep this shit up. I'm throwing you out of the house. I threw him out. Close the door. I left him outside, and all I can hear is him scratching on the back door. Nope, you're not coming in. Because he does that freaking incessant one, and he has to go out. He'll go off for like 5 minutes to come back in. I'm like, no, that's not how this shit works out. And he wants to go back out, but he can suck it up. So, yeah, I mean, something that people can do for a lot of Vietnam vets, or any vet for that matter, is when I see that they're wearing, you know, their hat from whatever unit they were in or whatever, I would always shake their hand. Thank them for their service, always. Because they didn't get it when they came home.
Exactly.
You know, they were called baby killers and shit like that. No, they weren't. I mean, they didn't kill. If children got killed, it was by accident because you were fighting in their backyard, you know. And it's unfortunate. A lot of communists, I don't say communists because different Muslim groups will use children and women as, you know, one, a shield, or they will have them loaded up with dynamite or C4 or whatever. So I don't know who else does that besides them and shit like that. I don't know if too many countries use women and children besides them. Did the Russians or Chinese?
Do they what?
Use women and children as cover or make them suicide bombers and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about
the
Russians. And
my dad told me a story that a kid walked up to him and said, my mommy told me to give you this, and tried to hand him a hand grenade.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he was on board ship right at the what they called a quarter deck, where you come on board the ship. And he said a Vietnamese woman was running down the pier firing an AK at them.
See, that's when I was in, that was one of the questions they ask everybody. Well, most of my unit when I was stationed at Fort Campbell was all women. I think we had a handful of guys. We were all medics.
Right.
And so we didn't do much. I mean, we would go help train other units and teach their 11 Bravos and shit basic first aid. So they knew it. But they would ask the guy, especially the guy, do you have a problem shooting a woman or a child who's about to shoot you?
Right.
And the biggest thing is a lot of the guys have problems with that because they feel they don't want to shoot a woman or a child. Let me tell you something. You point a gun at me or an RPG or whatever you have, if you're going to point it at me and whoever's around me, I'm going to shoot first. I'm not going to wait.
Exactly.
And, so most women don't have a problem with that. But I'll still argue with anybody. Women do not belong on the front line. I'm sorry. Not mixed with a male platoon because of the protective factor sets in from the men. If it's an all-women unit, hey, go for it. You know, they're going to don't fuck with all women now. That's just more power to you if you want to do that. But you know what I'm saying? That's the biggest issue they had. Because when I got out, they just started letting women go off the FOB on missions, and that's when they would send the female medics out and stuff like that. So, and that was 2010 or 11, whatever. And that's when they first started letting more women do other roles. Now, I could have done EOD, but I said, nope.
Wow, that was
fun.
That
shit ain't happening. No, I wasn't going to do that.
You see me
okay,
running?
So
you better run faster than me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of – trying to see if there's anything else on the Vietnam – because I think I covered everything. Let me see what else we got. Do. We want to pass out?
I think so. She's still on, but I think she passed
okay.
out.
Let's see. Shut up. You're not going outside. Too bad. He wants to go out front, but I won't let him because all he does is bark. Little butthole. Let's see. Ho Chi Minh comes home. I'm just trying to look and see if there's anything else. Damn, I think we did cover everything. I do know that... after the Vietnam War, any Vietnamese person that comes to America, they don't have to pay taxes. I can't remember how long it was, but they
Seven
don't have
years.
To pay taxes. And how long?
7 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the ground troops. Well, shit, that's it. I couldn't believe that. The Paris Peace Accord, why does that sound – didn't we just sign back up with the Paris Peace Accord?
I think so.
Yeah, we originally signed it back in 1973. But what was so bad – I can't remember. I know it was not cool. Hold on a second. Paris. Oh, you know what? I think it's something else. There's something else. It's called the Paris Climate Accord, not that other one that they signed in Vietnam. No, this is the climate one. Yeah, for climate change. So they have two of them. the Paris Agreement, and then the Paris Climate Accord. And that's what we don't want, because it's going to cost Americans an ungodly amount of money for every person.
Right.
So that's it. Good God. I didn't realize we'd cover everything. Yeah, everything we've got, I've already, I mean, I went over it. I mean, there's, but like I said, if you want to go find out anything, go look on the History Channel or a thought company or thoughtco.com. Oh, excuse me. It has everything. It has your timeline and what we went over, and then it has here we go. This is something different. It has all the different battles and stuff like that. But let's see. I'm on. I do have to admit, like I said, in Vietnam, they had the best music for all their movies. I do have to admit that. So some terms and slang from the Vietnam War, Agent Orange, the ARVN is an acronym for Army of the Republic of Vietnam. Boat people were refugees fleeing from Vietnam after the communist takeover of Vietnam in 1975. So they said, the hell with this shit, we're not communists, and we left. So boondock or boonies is a general term for the jungle or swampy areas in Vietnam. Now, you know, we use the term boonies in America for, like, when they say, yeah, we're way out in the boonies. The Okefenokee Swamp in Georgia and shit like that. Charlie was for VC. Forrest Gump is another movie that it's not like all that great of Vietnam, but it goes over a lot of this stuff too. Containment is a U.S. policy during the Cold War, which sought the prevention of the spread of communism to other countries. The DMZ, everyone knows, is the demilitarized zone. Diem Bien Phu was between communist Viet Minh forces as the French march from March to May of 1954, and the decisive victory of the Viet Minh led to the withdrawal of the French from Vietnam. Domino theory. Like the chain effect begun when even just one domino is pushed over, one country in a region that falls to communism will lead to surrounding countries also soon falling to communism. And I think that domino shit's about to happen now. A dove, a person who was opposed to the Vietnam War, compared to hawk. Never heard of that. DRV is an acronym for Democratic Republic of Vietnam. That's the North Vietnamese. Freedom Bird, any plane that took American soldiers back to the U.S. at the end of their tour duty. Friendly fire, everybody knows friendly fire is, unfortunately, you get shot by a young guy. A gook is a negative slang term for VC. Grunt is for 11 Bravos. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, two attacks by North Vietnam against U.S. destroyers, the USS Maddox and the USS Turner Joy, which were located in the international waters in the Gulf of Tonkin on August 2nd and 4th of 1964. This incident led U.S. Congress to pass the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. Hanoi Hilton, slang for North Vietnam's Hoa Loa prison, which was notorious for being the place where American POWs were brought for interrogation and torture. A hawk is a person who supports the Vietnam War. So, yeah. Ho Chi Minh Trail, it's the supply path. from north to south.
Ho Chi Minh.
North. Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh.
Whatever.
Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Whatever. A hooch is a slang for a place to live, either a soldier's living quarters or in a Vietnamese hut. In country meant Vietnam. Now we use the term sandbox or downrange. That's what we refer to from Afghanistan to Iraq. Did they say that about Kuwait, about being in the sandbox or downrange? Or is it just Afghanistan and Iraq?
I think each war uses the same term, because we used it back when we were there.
We called it we called it both, the sandbox and downrange.
I called it
it was more
hell.
Hell, I'm gonna tell you something. Oh my God, it was awful. Turkey's bad too. I don't give a shit what anybody says about Turkey. It sucks. Especially Istanbul. Johnson's War was slang for the Vietnam War because of Lyndon B. Johnson's role in escalating the conflict. KIA is killed in action, which we still use that term today. And we still use that also, I do believe, right, for a kilometer? Like, you know, one click, two clicks, whatever. Okay. Napalm, well, can't use that anymore either. A jellied gasoline that, when dispersed by flamethrower or by bombs, would stick to a surface as it burned. And this was used directly against the enemy soldiers and stuff. PTSD, they had the 100-yard stare? Was that before Vietnam? Because I didn't think they used PTSD back then, not for Vietnam.
No, they didn't. They just used that term. Thousand-yard stare.
Yeah, but then after that, there was another one. Let's see, hold on. Terms used. Battle fatigue, right? I believe that's what they called it. Shell shock.
World War II. Or World War I?
Hold on, let's see. PTSD went from shell shock to a recognized medical diagnosis. So basically, it says, haunted and fearful, the soldier struggled with ghosts of war. Which war? If you guessed Vietnam, the U.S. Civil War, or even World War I, you'd be wrong. These soldiers' symptoms were recorded not on paper charts, but on cuneiform tablets. Holy shit. Shell shock started 3,000 years ago. Back then, the ancient soldiers were assumed to have been hexed by a ghost. But if they were treated today, they call it PTSD. Let's see. I was trying to find out what they call them. Oh, traumatic hysteria is from way back. Come on. Combat fatigue. So shell shock and combat fatigue was World War I. And then, God, I got some gas so bad. It's freaking killing me. By World War II, psychiatrists increasingly recognized, I hate gas. Oh, my God. It hurts. Recognized that combat would have mental health ramifications and concluded that too many men were prone to anxiety or neurotic tendencies. So after World War I, they called it psychiatric collapse or combat fatigue or war neurosis. So that's when you could no longer serve. If, you know, say you were deployed in World War I or whatever, and you came back with any issues, they got you out. Not unlike today. Oh, no, no, your happy ass stays in the military until your contract is up or if you can no longer perform your job. So, but see, they try to keep you from combat situations. So then it went to post-Vietnam syndrome. And then, where's that? But then I don't think it was post-Vietnam syndrome very long. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to skim through this really quick and look for... I hate my dog. She's a little asshole. She, oh, that was it. I went to Ross and got a pair of $100 boots. Not cowboy boots, but those, I guess you want to call them shit kicker boots, but nice pair. I've wore them twice. Little fucker chewed them. Chewed one of them. So, and I just threw it at her. Here, you might as well have the other damn shoe while you're at it. And that's what she's doing. She's chewing the rubber. She's chewing the rubber. That dog can tear a shoe up in the matter of... So she's got four pairs of my shoes. I can't wear the other three pairs that I gave her. But that's how it dulls her teeth. You know what I mean? It so they're not sharp and then they'll bite the piss out of you. Anywho, POW, which we still use, prisoner of war. MIA, for missing in action, we still use that. NLF is for National Liberation Front, the Communist Guerrilla Forces in South Vietnam. NVA, Vietnamese Army. Peaceniks, whatever. Early protesters against the Vietnam War. Is it Punji Steaks or Punji Steaks? P-U-N-G-J-I. Is that Punji?
Yeah, it's P-U-N-G-H-I, I believe.
No, it's P-U-N-J-I. Well, okay, hold on. Depends on who's spelling it. But it's a booby trap made of a bunch of sharpened short wooden sticks placed upright on the ground and covered so that an unsuspecting soldier would fall on or... Ooh, that sounds like a good idea if you're living out in the woods. If you live in the boonies. Number around your property. RVN is the acronym for Republic of Vietnam. Spring Offensive is a massive attack by the North Vietnamese Army to South Vietnam. The Tet Offensive is a massive attack on South Vietnam by North Vietnam's Army and the VC. It began in 1968 on Tet, the Vietnamese. Oh, that's why they call it the Tet Offensive. It's the Vietnamese New Year. Tunnel rats, soldiers who explore. This is... Here is what they call, what my dad did. Tunnel rats, soldiers who explored the dangerous networks of tunnels that had been dug and used by the VC. So yeah, he lost the what you call it? He lost the bet. He had to be a tunnel rat. So the VC was the Viet Cong, Viet Minh, shortened for the Vietnam Doc Lap Dong Minh Hoi. Holy crap! So that's why they called it Viet Minh. Vietnamization is the process of withdrawing U.S. troops from Vietnam, turning over all fighting to the South Vietnamese. It says Vietniks, early protesters against the Vietnam War and the world, United States, real life back home. And shit, I guess that's it. There's nothing else. I wish my dad did not get rid of his green book. He got to keep his.
Right.
You know, that little green book that they all... Huh?
I said right.
Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you what, my dad taught me how to... He taught us how to burn anything and everything, how to build a proper fire. See, that's the reason why he was like that when he came home, too. We could have a bonfire the size of a house, and he never lost a fire, ever. And he could have one with, I mean, wind whipping around. He could still have a fire and never lost one.
Yep.
And he would blow shit up. He didn't care. But yeah, he taught us everything. I think that's why we turned out the way we did. I think that's why I turned out being a tomboy. It's because my dad was a combat engineer. He taught me everything about the outdoors, and shit like that, you know. But that tis be it. We're done. What we can do is, so Monday, I have no idea. got any ideas? Oh,
nah, but it... go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say. Stop. I'm going to slap the shit out of you. what was it? The history of fallen empires. You know what I'm saying? The downfall, the Roman Empire and all that. I think that's what we were going to cover, but it's going to be hard for me to... I'm going to have to find a way to get all that crap. Let me see. You know, just the fallen empires. Let me see. I think that'd be cool. Not Forge of Empires. Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
What is it?
I looked up fallen empires. You know, all different empires that fell, and it comes up Forge of Empires. My God, stupid game. No, Fallen Empire. I don't want the game or the movie. Lord have mercy. Okay, how about this? See, I told you, in order to look stuff up, Pyre's Rise and Fall, you have to word your question. So here we go. I think we'll do it on comparing the rise and fall of empires, what causes them to fall. Which we know the biggest cause of a fall of an empire is morality. So, cool. I'll do that. That's what we'll do on Monday.
Okay.
And then Tuesday, I have no idea.
All
right. I need ideas for a medical show. I think we went over... Well, crap, you know what we could do? We could go over shock. I'll do another PowerPoint on shock, the types of shock.
There you go.
I still have to finish the audio. I've been trying. I've been so busy with I've had 7 employment agencies ask me to go apply for that dean of nursing at Newman University. I'm like, dude, I already applied. And then so I got my fingers crossed for that one. And then there's another university who needs an assistant dean, and then they need a biology instructor at Newman University. So it is what it is, but so my brain's been busy doing all that crap. But I'm trying to think. What we could do is, I don't think anything is. The U.S.-Iran makes progress in indirect talks, but final agreement still elusive. Yeah, they're still trying to – Iran's still trying to force Biden into signing their stupid friggin' thing. I'm just trying to see if anything is coming up for, like, local news, local, in the U.S. I'm just trying to flick through here. We got a little bit of time to bullshit.
Right.
Wow. For Alex Jones's arrest after he donated $500,000 to Trump's rally on January 6th. They're really reaching on a lot of shit. You know, they cannot stand they can't stand the fact that America is trying to come together. You know, people are still trying to unite and everything else. I've been shadow banned on TikTok. One of the things. Yes, I know it's a Chinese company. I really don't give a shit. But I like the stupid videos. But I'm shadow banned, and every time I make a video, they mute it so that you can't hear it. They mute it. Get this, a freaking cartoon from Bug's Life. You know the one that I shared? That 1 minute little video where Grasshopper says, if ants find out that if they stand together, there goes our way of life. That
right.
got banned on TikTok, that 1 minute video, for harassment and bullying and whatever they said.
Well, I got that 30-day ban. You know, I got the 30-day ban this time. Because I made a comment on one of Lorna's posts. It had something to do with, you know, somebody breaks into the house and shooting or something. And I said, all I said was, in a case like this, I'd shoot first then ask questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there is a video that says, if I broke into your house, what are you going to do?
Right.
Some of these little freaking punk ass kids. I said, one, I'm gonna whoop your ass, not before I get a pair of scissors and shh.
That's what I got the 30-day ban for.
Wow, it's a bad damn time. A federal judge has halted Biden's unconstitutional $4 billion program to pay 120% of Black, Hispanic, and Asian or Native American farmers' debt after 12 white farmers sued claiming it discriminated against them. Because a lot of the farmers are going bankrupt because they're forcing them to destroy their crops. So Biden is paying out $4 billion to Black farmers, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, to save their crops, but he's letting white farmers go bankrupt. And the federal judge said, nope, that's unconstitutional. About damn time that someone's standing up to that little fucker. I'm sorry. I just get into my... but, yeah. So, you know what? I'm going to look it up because I heard about it. We talked about it earlier. What is the new internet? Someone said they're making a new internet. AT&T Fiber. It's a certain type of – the new internet is a sensorless browser and plug-in that allows users to overlay comments on any social media page, news articles, or web page. It will provide the users the power to publicly defend their positions, thoughts, and opinions. That is the new internet that's going –
What's fucktard Zuckerberg going to do?
He's SOL. But here's
exactly.
the thing. Remember, they're about to lay this out, this new internet. You're not going to – they said the internet's going to be shut down. Okay. But here's the thing. You're going to have your phone and this, that, and the other. It's not like Google, that's a web browser and shit like that. I think it's the WWW part, the World Wide Web, that is what's getting changed. And they've been working on this since 2018. How long they've been... Oh. They're going to charge you $9.95 a month for it.
How much?
$10 a month. Fuck no, internet's free, damn it. Well, no, internet's not free, but you get it on your cable or whatever. Yeah, new internet service options as low as $9.95 a month. That's that new, whatever this new thing is. So it's supposed to be it's like the 5G, I guess. So it's you faster than all this other crap that we have. But that's part of that all that crap that's that's about to go down. I'm telling you, all this new shit's coming out this week. We shall see what happens and how long it lasts. Oh, my God, my knee's killing me. Oh, excuse me. I had to go let retard out. Oh, so let me see. Oh, yeah, I told you about Air being racist. I'm trying to think of anything else that's racist, you know, because they said Air was racist. I think that was the last thing I heard. Shut up. You hear this little asshole?
Talking back.
Chef put his 2 cents in. Oh. And my neighbor's dog is outside. Oh yeah, I'm gonna try to get a video done. I've got my little I'm not gonna do hydroponics, but I got these little plastic boxes or little, they're so cute. They're like little laundry baskets, but they're not laundry baskets. Like a tote, and I'm gonna hook them to the fence, and I'm gonna drill a hole in the bottom so the water, excess water, can drip down on them. And
yeah.
I got my herb garden.
There you go.
And I've got like jalapenos, banana peppers, and shit like
that.
What
kind of marijuana are you growing again?
Yeah, sure. It's funny because I don't know if you knew this, but tomatoes have the same heat signature as marijuana plants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sheriff's Department showed up at my house, Tennessee, because I had over 100 tomato plants. Imagine what kind of heat signal that sent out. Let me see my. Ooh, I gotta water my plants. One of my my dill plants looks a little sickly, but yeah, I'm gonna use the fence for all of my stuff.
Oh, boy.
And grow them. Dogs can around and not kill my plant. But see, right now I'm going to go beat their ass because they just won't shut up. Yeah, I come outside and they'll just stand there. they know I got their leash holding it like a freaking belt. But yeah, I'm going to take a picture of, I'm going to show it. And, I mean, I could actually convert these to hydroponics if I take a piece of styrofoam, cut a hole in it the size of the little cup, and cut a hole in the bottom so the roots can go down in it, and I could fill it up with water. I could do that. But I got to do it before you plant them, before you repot them. You can't do it after you've planted them for a while. I swear to God, I'm giving up 2 dogs for adoption because I can't do this anymore with these 2 idiots. They're driving me insane. Yeah, so we bought 2 of everything. 2 cucumbers, 2 banana peppers, 2 jalapenos, squash, zucchini. Hell, I could have more than that. I didn't realize that it was that big in my yard. So it's too late to do tomato plants unless I get the big ass ones that's already getting ready to bud. So
right.
Can we get a few more minutes here? So yeah, guys. We don't know a lot of strange shit that's probably going to start happening on Monday. Monday, they're going to come out with the results of the audit. Like I said, you don't need to have all of your excess supplies just because. It's a good idea to have them, like water, a lot of dry goods, your rices and flour, sugars, and pastas. Yeah, you can, but sometimes the pasta can go stale,
oh, yeah.
Or not, unless you put it in an airtight container. Simply right. because, don't forget, you got natural disasters, storms. Right now we got hurricane season. Like, we don't get hurricanes, but we get bad thunderstorms. So what we're going to do is we're going to start putting up cases and upon cases of ramen noodles, probably potted meat, the Vienna sausage, as it lasts, you know what I'm saying, for case anything happens, God forbid, anything happens. And plus, like, you know those, I like it, but I can eat it, is those big, the roll can of chicken breast, the chunk chicken breast from Walmart. It's just like tuna,
yeah.
but it's chicken. Okay, those big, huge cans. Yeah, I've made all kinds of shit with that. But yeah, always have your supply, because like I said, anything could happen. You could lose your job. You could get laid off for a while. You could get sick. Someone in your family could get sick and you can't go to work. You get food to fall back on. You know, try not to use it all, but your main important thing that you want to keep is you want to keep a well-supplied stock of bottles of water. We bought, because it's only $1.50, well, I don't know what it is now, I haven't bought it in a while, but cases of the little bottles of water, you know what I'm talking about, the little 12-ounce, 16-ounce bottles?
Yeah.
Or you could get the, was it 5.5 gallons? You know the big, huge water, the things you put for your little water fountain there? You know what I'm talking about? Those big 5.5 gallons? Yeah, you could get those. Try to think. Oh, and something else that's good to have also in the sporting goods section at Walmart. I don't know about any other store. I just know I bought this person at Walmart. It's a one, two. I can't remember how many gallons it is. It might be 5. I don't know, but it's a collapsible plastic square, and it has a little I'm gonna call it spigot, but you know what I'm talking about, little thing you turn on and off where the water comes out. You could fill that up.
Yeah.
Have those, keep them empty though. You don't want to have water in that. But you could, if you know something's happening, like a storm or something, then you fill them up. Put them in your refrigerator, or put them wherever, and they'll keep for a little while. I think maybe we should go ahead and go over. One Saturday, I guess we can, I don't care, whatever day, about supply kits. Like, not a bug-out bag, but supplies for different emergencies.
Right.
You know, I know we have different listeners a lot and stuff when we cover, and sometimes we may find new things to add. And when we go over this different information, that doesn't mean you have to have all of it. Pick and choose whatever you want to have, especially for your area of where you live. You're not going to need the same stuff that other areas have. But water is your most important thing you're going to have, because you can't go without water. You know, you can go without food for a little while, but you can't go without water. So always important to keep your water supply. But woohoo, look at there. We got 5 minutes. If you want to go ahead and sing as everybody else did.
Yeah.
Weather's did.
Yeah, we can end the show.
I'm here. I'm present.
Oh my
I have
gosh.
To admit I did
she
fall
woke
asleep.
Up.
I know. I was out cold.
That's okay. I was before we started.
Yeah.
But another good topic and another great show, Kim. I always appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Lorna, even though you fell asleep, we still thank you for still being on.
Yeah,
I
your
tried.
Call still counts. Your call still counts.
And God bless America. God bless our troops, first responders, children, veterans, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.